All right, half a day harvest, good Monday night crowd, and you're singing and participating energetically. That's just an encouragement to me as I listen to you participate like that and get ready to stand in the pulpit and deliver God's word. I was thinking, as Pastor June was showing about Maranatha, harvest should identify with that, right? 4,000 things going on in the ministry, but it's been a joy to partner with Pastor June. He was very instrumental in helping us from the beginning to get Haven of Grace Seminary off the ground, and just a very wonderful servant of the Lord, he and Juvie. And it's kind of funny. So COVID sort of, right, stopped all the international travel that I was doing quite regularly, and that's when I was able to go to the Philippines, come to Guam, and so on for so many times during those years, and then it just stopped. And so I haven't even been back to the Philippines at this point post-COVID. And so Pastor June was able, we tried to get him a number of years ago to the U.S., and again, several times, visa applications denied. Well, it just so happens that this year, I was at a conference in Florida, and Pastor June and Juvie were there. And I didn't even know this. We were talking in Florida, and so I said, yeah, I'm going to be out in Guam, in March for their missions conference. We were just talking about Josh Marr and Lay all being out here, and he said, oh, well, I'll see you there too. So it's kind of neat how we've connected in the U.S., this time, a couple different ways. So it was a joy to see that tonight, and do pray for what God is doing there. In fact, just before the service, we had a meeting with the mission team that's going to be going over. And so I think a week from about this Saturday or so, they will be leaving to go over. They'll be ministering at Maranatha and Sunshine and the camp, and a lot of different ministries going to interact and share the gospel with a lot of different children and high schoolers and adults and young professionals. So pray for that ministry that week. It's going to be very busy, but I was so encouraged tonight. My heart was blessed to meet the team members and leaders and the excitement and the passion they have for going. And folks, those kind of one-on-one personal investments, I mean, they are lasting. And I know that because I've had Filipinos talk with me about this team came, these people came, and it was 5 years ago or 8 years ago, and they still remember those things. And there are people who get saved and come into the church and they get discipled as a result of people like you going and investing in the gospel. So thank you, Harvest, for making that possible. Thank you for sacrificing your time to go. And thank you for supporting what we're doing through Pacific Rim Missions in the Philippines and in other places. We'll share about that as well. All right, so yesterday we talked about the cause of Christ is about, one aspect of it, is that Christ is the King. So the cause of Christ is about the King who is Christ. Tonight we're going to talk about another aspect of the cause of Christ, also directly related to Christ, but we will find that in the New Testament tonight in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Paul writes this in verse 1. So if there is any, note these four, encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of, note these four, the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Four and four. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I don't know, you probably have heard the name of Corrie ten Boom. I've actually been over to the Netherlands and seen where she and her family participated in the helping Jews during World War II. And when Corrie ten Boom became, you know, sort of popular, if you will, and people rallied around what she and her family did, and then she was asked to speak and became sort of a household name, if you will. Someone asked her, "Corrie, is it hard to remain humble?" And she answered this way. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, on the back of a donkey, waving branches, people throwing garments, singing praises, do you think that for one moment it entered the head of the donkey that this was all for him? If I could be but a donkey on which Jesus Christ rides in his glory, I will just give him all the praise and the honor. Wow. What a great answer. And what a great follow-up to yesterday, because yes, we saw Jesus Christ in his majesty on the throne. He's worthy. He is deserving. He has the authority. It is settled. It has been decreed, and it is established. Christ the King. But Christ the King is also the humble servant. And it's interesting, this missional aspect in the book of Philippians, because this is exactly what this epistle is about. In fact, Philippi was the first church after Paul received the Macedonian vision where Paul went. And it was in Philippi that the gospel took root and some great things happened, like Lydia, Acts 16, Philippian jailer, Acts 16. Man, God was working and it was amazing. And the gospel was going forth, and that's what missions is about. In fact, Paul starts this particular book of Philippians, if you look in chapter 1, a number of different times. He just makes this whole idea of the gospel come to life. For instance, in Philippians 1:5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This was the first city I came to. The gospel went forth. People got saved. And now the church at Philippi has been partnering with him ever since that first entrance into Macedonia. Look down in verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. Look down in verse 15 or 16. The latter do it out of love in terms of preaching Christ, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. And then all the way down in verse 27. Only let your manner be worthy of the gospel of Christ, and following that up with striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So the book of Philippians is about the gospel. It's about Christ. And a lot of times when we think about missions and we think about the gospel and we think about advancing the gospel, I know what goes through our minds. Yes, at Harvest, we support missions. Yes, we give money to missions, and oh my, are you a generous church? Indeed. Yeah, we send teams. People go out. Just like you said, in a couple weeks, man, folks are rooting up here for a week and they're using some of their own money and they're going to the Philippines because they genuinely want to minister to people. Wonderful. Fantastic. That's how it should be. In fact, in Philippians 4, Paul said, from the first day until now, you have partnered with me and participated with me in the gospel. In fact, you sent once and again for my necessities. And he's speaking about he was in Rome. He wrote this from Rome, a prison cell, and he was thanking the church at Philippi for their graciousness, for their generosity, for their connection, staying in touch with him. For when Paul ended up in prison because of the gospel, the Philippians church was like, we're not going to disown him. Oh, he's in jail. They're like, no, we stand with you in the gospel. We're behind you. And all of those are important. But there's one thing that is the foundation for all of that. There's something that is the foundation for giving. And if you don't have this, for a while, you might be a giving people or church, but it is going to die off if you don't have this. And for a while, you might be a sending or a going church, but after a while, if you don't have this, it's going to die off. The way you sustain missions in giving and going and praying and everything else that it takes for missions to work is you have to duplicate yourself as individuals and as a church corporately the attitude of Jesus Christ when it comes to missions. What is that? It's chapter 2. The reason Paul is complimenting them for their partnership and their advancing and their defending and their striving side by side and making the name of Christ known is because he's encouraging them to reduplicate the missional aspect of Jesus Christ when he left heaven and came to earth. And he actually makes the cornerstone of this whole gospel thing, this Christological passage in Philippians chapter 2, which is one of the purest and best descriptions of what happened whenever Jesus Christ became God in the flesh. And if you can reduplicate that example in your own life, my friend, not only will you be a missional person, you will forever be a missional church. So let's talk about what that takes. Because sometimes, again, when we think about missions, it's like, let's give, let's go. Oh, you're a little ahead of yourself. Let's talk about this first. Let's be unified. Do you know how he starts with chapter 2? I pointed out these four things. He talks about, he gives an exhortation to like motivations. You have to be motivated by the same things and like-mindedness. You have to be thinking about the same things. And when you are unified in your motivations and you're unified in your like-mindedness, it's like, yes, Let's give. Yes, let's go. Yes, let's whatever it has to do with missions. Notice these four: encouragement, consolation, fellowship, and affections. These like motivations that are happening this week. Words that exhort us to action. That's a missions conference. Someone stands up and challenges you from the Word of God, and your whole attitude is like, I'm moved. That spoke to my heart. Oh man, where's my passion? Where's my burden? Wait, let's go. That's part of this. Consolation. Words that comfort in sorrow. Man, we're hurting as a body. There are people who've lost loved ones. There are people struggling with sin. There are needs. That's part of this. The fellowship, the sense of partnering, the sense of community, like, hey, we're Harvest. We're all in this together. And then the Christian affections, those deep yearnings of our heart that is like, oh my goodness, did you feel what I feel in that service? Is your heart beating like mine is? That was good, right? Yes. These like motivations. In other words, for Harvest to be the missions church that it should be, and for us individually to be what we should be, there have to be these like motivations from Christ, from the Word, that are like, are you feeling what I'm feeling about missions and the gospel and Christ and how important this is? And the answer should be, yeah. And I needed that. And I want that. On top of that, there's this like-mindedness. Same mind, same love, same soul, one mind. So spiritually, we start thinking along the same lines about the gospel and missions. Same love, we start acting along the same lines. That is, unselfish. Like, I need to give more of my money. I need to give more of my time. I need to be willing to go. Hey, I'm working a successful job, but I might need to surrender. Maybe God's calling me. And you start living and thinking unselfishly. Same soul. You start feeling along the same lines. And there's this harmony. There's this unison as a body and as a believer. Not just, hey, Zimmers, hey, Ogias, hey, Browns, hey, all the Hyrie, when you're around those missionaries, oh, you feel, no, it should be like, man, when I'm around Harvest people, are you thinking what I'm thinking about missions and the gospel and what we're doing? And it's, oh, hey, we're thinking along the same lines. This is good. And then one mind. Now we start moving along the same lines, like, Pastor Gary, we should do this. That's a great idea. Let's get behind that. So this is what he's talking about. An exhortation of like motivations and like-mindedness from a body of believers where there is like this beautiful symphony. It's like all these playing together, except it would be like the symphony where you have all these instruments that are on the same page, the same note, and they are thinking alike and feeling alike and acting alike and moving alike and their purpose is alike and their goals are alike and their attitudes are alike and their responses are alike. They are motivated in this beautiful symphony and harmony for one reason. And do you know what it is? It's very simple. It's not because they go to Harvest. It's because they have Christ. It's not the church that unites you. It is Christ that unites you in the church. And that's the point. If you have a problem with missions, okay, I'm just throwing this out there, you don't have a problem with Harvest, you have a problem with Christ. If you have a problem with hoarding money and it's just so hard for you to give, or you have a problem with hoarding your time and it's so hard for you to give it up, you have a problem with getting on the same page as the local church and what's going on, it's not a problem with the leadership. It's not a problem with the program. It's not a problem with the local church. It is a problem with Christ. Something is missing in terms of you following His example. And it's going to be very clear in a moment what that is, what it looks like. So Paul says, just want you to be on the same page. And if you're on the same page, it means Christ is in you. And that's why you're thinking and feeling and acting and doing. It's why you have these goals and purposes and ideas and you get excited. In fact, I encourage you. It's probably why you're here tonight. I want to come. This is good. I need it. Pastor Mark, challenge me. Don't let me come and sit in my seat and just be like, yeah, another missions conference, heard another message. Pastor Mark, preach the word so I'm on the same page and we're all moving in unison for the glory of God. And only Christ can do that. Missionaries don't do that. Pastoral leadership doesn't do that. Christ does that. And He does it by working through these people. So, that's the exhortation. Now here's the admonition. Negatively, this is what that doesn't look like, right? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Those two things alone destroy any kind of unity or like-mindedness you could ever have as a church. Selfish ambition, the idea of that word is just a desire to put yourself forward. And when you separate yourself from the group because you have to be in front or forward, you've created a division, a faction. Oh, you're back there and I'm up here. Oh, really? Well, who are you? Why are you out there? Why are you not part of the team? Conceit? Empty pride. Baseless self-esteem. Like, you know the reason you stepped out there and created this division from the team? Because I don't know why, but you think you're better, don't you? You think you have more to offer. You think you're more important. That doesn't fit with like motivations and like-mindedness. And that's what destroys missions, and it's what destroys the unity that's in Christ in the gospel. When that person steps out front and says, well, I should be heard, or my idea should be given preference. Why? Who are you? Or, well, I should have my feelings respected. People should... Why? Who are you? Well, I think it should be done this way, or it should go this way, or... Okay. Well, this is what the goal should... Let me just tell everybody, okay, behind me, why... How did you become so important? That kind of thinking destroys. It destroys families, it destroys churches, it destroys missions. Now, we've seen it on mission fields, haven't we? It does destroy. So the negative side of this is if you're going to be like-motivated and like-minded, don't you dare step out front and say, people should listen to me. That's not unity and harmony and symphony. Positively, it looks like this. But in humility, count others more important or significant than yourselves. Look not only on your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Positively, it's in your attitude. Humility, the idea is lowliness of mind. And you'll get this, it's very easy. The person who steps away from the group and steps out front is saying, I'm important, listen to me, I'm better than you, pay attention to me, look at me. But the person who is steps back is saying, you know the right opinion of myself? Here's what it is. I'm just like all these people, exact same. And you know what that is? If you belong to Christ, this is the group that you are in. And it's the same group Pastor Mark is in, and Pastor Gary, and Pastor Larry, and all the missionaries, and everybody else. Here's what it is. Don't you ever think of yourself any better or worse than this. You are a sinner saved by the grace of God. And that's it. And we're all right there in that group. And anyone who says, well, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, but you should, no, you're missing the point. Lowliness of mind. The idea of this word even is just like, could you have a modest and a correct opinion of yourself? Can I tell you something? You don't bring anything to the kingdom of God. You are elevated there because of Jesus Christ. God doesn't need you and he doesn't need me, but you need him and I need him. So the positive side is attitude, lowliness of mind, and action. All right, then when someone has a right opinion of themselves, here's how that is carried out. Esteem others better than yourself. Look on others, and it's a specific word that means to mark them out. Like, we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Hey, how can I help you? Oh, here's a brother or sister in need. I'm going to mark them out. Oh, here's a missionary that I can help. Oh, here's a place I could go serve. And you start looking for those opportunities where the focus is not on you. You know your place in the kingdom. You're just a sinner saved by the grace of God. And you start looking for the opportunity to serve others that are part of the team. That's the symphony. That's the harmony. And everyone's looking that way. So don't worry, because if you're looking to help and serve others, you know what it also means? Someone's probably looking to help and serve you. So don't worry. It's going to happen. And when you have the right kind of attitude, it translates into the right kinds of actions. Other people are more important than me. That translates here at Harvest. It also translates to the field. Filipinos are more important than me, and Burmese are more important than me, and Indians are more important than me. And, you know, I'm sorry I can say this, but sometimes when American missionaries have gone to the field, they kind of go to the field, and it's like, okay, we know how to do missions. Well, wait a minute. That's like stepping out front saying, okay, just look at me and listen to me. We know how to plant churches, and we know how to reach people, and we... No, you don't. You're just a sinner saved by the grace of God. But I will tell you this. Christ knows how to plant churches, and he knows how to reach people, and he knows how to use you. That's how it works. So when you have that attitude of humility, it shows itself in actions of service. Oh, I get it now. That's exactly what Jesus did. And now follows one of the great Christological passages in the New Testament. It's amazing. Because now, thirdly, he's going to give this example of what I just explained to you about like-mindedness and like motivations, that unity and symphony. Being negated by someone who's conceited and selfish and puts themselves out front, but no, positively, someone who's humble, has the right opinion of themselves, understands where they fit in the body, and so they start serving others. Yes, that's exactly, look at the life of Jesus Christ, his incarnation, that's exactly what it looks like. Who, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, here's the same mind, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Think about this. Jesus Christ is superior in form, right? It's the word morphe, morphos. It's a Greek word. What is he in form? He only ever existed in this form. John 4:24, God is a spirit. What? Oh my goodness, I'm an eternal spirit. I can't take it. That was one of the Ten Commandments. Don't try to make some material representation of God. You just don't do. God can make a material representation of God, but not man. So Jesus Christ existed in this form of spirit, but when it came to the incarnation, he did not argue with the Father and say, I can't do that. Not only did he have superiority of form, he had superiority of essence, right? He was equal with God because he is God. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's holy, he just go on and on, just all the list of the attributes and things Jesus had because he's God. So there is this superiority where literally, okay, if anyone has the right to step out of the group and say, look at me, it's God. But you know what he did, folks, when he came to this earth? And this is what blows my mind and touches my heart. That of all people who ever existed could have said, here I am. Jesus went. I'll be like you. No, wait a minute. You're God. I'll take a human form. No, you can't do that. You just stay out. In humility, I will assume all the conditions that humanity undergoes. Not only was he superior, but look at that. That gives power to the condescension. Think about this. He emptied himself. The idea here is not that he gave up any of his godness. He just took upon himself manness. He emptied himself of any kind of selfish ambition, of any kind of, hey, I'm God, I'm superior in form, I'm superior in essence, and I'm sorry, I just can't do this. No. In humility, he said, I can do that. And it came this way. Through submission to the will of the Father, through humility and through obedience. And you keep those three words in mind. Submission, humility, and obedience. Because I promise you, if you follow submission, humility, and obedience, you too will not only love Christ, you will love missions, and you will love the gospel. Because that's what motivated Jesus himself to be this kind of example. Submission, right? God existed as spirit. He took upon him the form of a servant. God's going to robe himself in flesh, come on. Yep. He was made in the likeness of men. That literally means he was willing to receive a shape, a form that looked like man. This is God. I'll look exactly like you look like, with the eyes, the nose, the ears, the hands, the feet, all of it. And he assumed the fashion of a man. Literally, he took upon himself every condition of humanity. Not just physically, emotionally, mentally. Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are. I will take all of that, even to this. Even death on a cross. Humans are crucified on crosses. Criminals are crucified on crosses. And Jesus said, in submission and humility and obedience, I will suffer that too for you. And is that, my friend, not the message of the gospel? The message that needs to be taken to the nations, that look what Christ did. He is the King. He is God. And for this time, he did this. And he became part of humanity. And he started looking out for the interest of all humanity. In fact, we can only focus on so many people at a time. Jesus focused on the entire world. For God so loved the world. That's our example. And so what did that mean? Obedience to the death of the cross. It took him all the way to humiliation and shame. He was despised. He was rejected. He false trials. He was beaten. He was mocked. But in all of that, there was no consideration of, oh no, I can't go through with this. I'm going to step out. He has that right. I'm sinless. I'm going to step out. I'm a spirit. I can't limit myself with the form anymore. I'm going to step out. These temptations are, I'm going to step out. I can't do that. No. When Jesus submitted himself in obedience to the will of the Father, the humility said, I will serve humanity, all of it, to every degree. And that degree took him to the cross to die for the sins of all mankind, yours and mine. And all I can say to that tonight is this, three words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for submission. How hard that was. Oh my. Thank you for humility. Thank you for obedience. To go that far? Yes. And when you follow that path, in closing, there is always, always, in the church, in your family, in missions, in your own life personally, the result of that kind of life, following that example of, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm going to start serving others, serving Christ, serving the cause of the gospel. The result is always this, blessing. Okay, what's the end result of what Christ did? Here it is. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. And he has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and should testify this truth. Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And is that not the bullseye, the target for missions? That the nations confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Is that not the target of this missions conference? Is that not the target of training HBB students and sending them out? Is that not the target of sending missionaries out of your church, sending teams out from your church, people going from your church, supporting projects from your church? Is that not the target for you individually? Folks, you don't do missions in the Philippines. You don't do missions in India and Myanmar and Indonesia and all these other places. You know where you do missions? You do missions on Guam, down the street, at the store, building relationships. Because the goal is the same in every nation of the world, that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so God raised him and exalted him and graced him with this incredible name. And all of that came through the humble servant. So tonight, where are you? That's how you do missions. You follow Christ. And when you have a like-minded, like-motivated church who's like, I'm not going to step out front. I don't belong there. I belong here. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. That will destroy things. I want to be part of the team. I want to start serving. I want to give. I want to help people. I want to go. I want to do missions. I want to, what's that project? What can we pray for? How can we help you? And man, you start living like that. Oh my goodness. Just it means you're submitting yourself to the will of God. And it may well be for someone here tonight. I'm just going to put this out there. There's this little tap on your shoulder. And you can almost feel it right now. It's like, God's calling you. And he wants you to go. Come on. Christ didn't, oh, I can't go. Well, why would you think like that? Submit to the will of God. He calls in you. He works in you. He's speaking to you. And the only way you can do that is through humility. Like, yes, okay, God, I'm part of the team. What do you want me to do? Okay, I'll obey. Missions conference, you want me to go? I'll surrender. I'll obey. And when you have that kind of response that follows the example of Christ, oh, man, missions and the gospel is limitless. C.H. Spurgeon said this, say much of what God has done for you and very, very little of what you have done for God. God has done great things for us. Jesus Christ, we owe him everything. And so tonight, can we just humbly and graciously say, Lord, I want to follow that example of submission and humility and obedience. Because the goal of my life is singular. It's one. It's not to make money. It's not to have a great family. It's not to have a successful career. It's not to collect things. It's one. That all the nations would declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's how I want to live my life. End of story. Full stop. Let's go. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please do your work through your word in the hearts of your people. And may this be the passage, because it is the person, Christ, who motivates us in these things for his glory. In Jesus' name.